Inside the data center financing boom, and the teams Wall Street is building to win it. The commercial real estate playbook is dead. Wall Street's largest banks are assembling cross-functional strike teams to finance what J.P. Morgan's Fred Turpin calls the largest investment cycle in the history of capitalism, a $3 trillion AI infrastructure build-out by 2030 that has blown past the capital capacity of even the world's largest technology firms. The decisive shift: banks are no longer structuring these deals as property loans, but as multi-billion dollar infrastructure financings that demand expertise in electrical engineering, power transmission, and permitting law alongside traditional debt markets. This is not capital markets evolution. It is capital markets reinvention under the pressure of unprecedented scale. Adam Lewis, managing director at Citizens, set the new floor: if you can't invest $1 billion, we don't even want to talk to you. That threshold would have funded 10 marquee data center deals 5 years ago. Today, it is table stakes. The geometry of the financing challenge has fundamentally changed. Hyperscalers can no longer self-fund the infrastructure race without compromising balance sheet flexibility, and the cost of land, power, and compute has pushed individual projects into territory previously reserved for sovereign infrastructure, airports, energy grids, toll roads. Banks that crack the financing architecture will capture mandate flow measured in the tens of billions. Banks that cannot will watch from the sidelines as a multi-decade capital cycle passes them by. Citigroup leadership sent an internal memo in late February outlining the creation of a dedicated AI infrastructure group designed to evaluate all pockets of capital as deal complexity grows. Goldman Sachs responded by consolidating its capital solutions group to unify origination, structuring, and distribution across asset classes. Morgan Stanley's Richard Myers and William Graham pioneered a $27 billion bond deal for a Meta Blue Owl joint venture and a $2.6 billion financing for CoreWeave using NVIDIA chips as collateral. These are not incremental adjustments. They are declarations of strategic priority from institutions competing for what could become the defining financing opportunity of the next decade. The $1 billion minimum reflects rising power and land economics. Citizens' $1 billion participation threshold is not posturing. It is a direct function of input cost inflation and power-intensive computing infrastructure. Electricity access has become the binding constraint on data center development, driving land acquisition costs in power-rich regions to multiples of historical norms. The shift from $100 million milestone financings to $1 billion minimums in under 3 years reflects the compounding effect of higher power, density requirements, extended permitting timelines, and the competitive premium paid for sites with utility commitments already in place. Lewis leads a team of more than 30 bankers at Citizens focused exclusively on advising, structuring, and financing data center projects. The specialization is telling. Regional lenders historically played supporting roles in syndicated infrastructure deals. Citizens' emergence as a key player in AI data center financing signals that traditional league table hierarchies are being redrawn. Banks with deep domain expertise in power and construction risk are winning mandates over bulge bracket names that lack the technical fluency to underwrite electrical diagrams, mechanical systems, and land use permits. J.P. Morgan's approach under Turpin pairs technology and energy experts with bankers versed in private capital markets, allowing the firm to bridge projects using its own balance sheet before syndicating to sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, and dedicated infrastructure investors seeking stable, generational returns. This structure solves two problems simultaneously. It accelerates project timelines by removing the capital formation bottleneck at inception, and it converts a liquid construction phase assets into institutional-grade holdings once operational. The model mirrors project finance structures used in LNG export terminals and offshore wind, sectors where capital intensity and construction risk historically deterred pure-play real estate investors. Cross-functional integration replaces siloed capital markets teams. Goldman Sachs Capital Solutions Group consolidates origination, structuring, and distribution across investment-grade and high-yield debt, infrastructure and real estate financing, and equity capital markets. John Greenwood, partner and global head of infrastructure and real asset finance within the group, described the operational shift: we're elbow to elbow with the bankers that cover sponsors so that we can ensure a direct line between our origination efforts and distribution efforts to financial sponsors. The language is deliberate: sponsors, not borrowers. The financing architecture increasingly resembles private equity infrastructure deals rather than corporate credit. Morgan Stanley's task force, launched in 2024, brings together specialists from power and project finance, real estate, and leveraged finance to arrange multiple sources of capital within a single structure. Myers arranged the $2.6 billion CoreWeave financing using NVIDIA GPUs as collateral, a structure without precedent in traditional asset-backed lending. The deal required underwriting not just the creditworthiness of the borrower, but the residual value of the underlying chips, the rate of technological obsolescence, and the liquidity of the secondary market for high-performance compute hardware. That is not a loan. It is structured finance applied to technology infrastructure. William Graham, Morgan Stanley's global co-head of leveraged finance, led a $3.2 billion senior secured note offering for TeraWulf and a $2.35 billion raise for Applied Digital, two firms that pivoted from cryptocurrency mining to hosting AI workloads. The capital markets are treating these as infrastructure refinancings, not tech deals. The underlying thesis: once a facility secures power and cooling capacity, the revenue stream becomes utility-like, regardless of whether the compute load serves Bitcoin mining or large language model training. That view is reflected in the pricing and covenant structures, which increasingly mirror power purchase agreements and take-or-pay contracts. Technical fluency becomes underwriting prerequisite. Scott Wilcoxon, who leads digital infrastructure investment banking at JP Morgan, noted that bankers now can read electrical diagrams and mechanical diagrams and understand land use permits and power configurations. The comment underscores a profound shift in skill set requirements. Traditional corporate finance relies on financial statement analysis, comparable company valuation, and precedent transaction multiples. Infrastructure finance requires engineering literacy, regulatory expertise, and construction timeline risk assessment. Bankers who cannot distinguish between a power purchase agreement and a utility interconnection queue position cannot credibly advise on billion-dollar data center financings. Lewis at Citizens emphasized the importance of understanding what could delay or derail a project, and to give investors confidence that it will actually come online as planned. The risk is not credit risk in the traditional sense, it is execution risk. Can the developer secure the transformer capacity? Will the electrical utility approve the substation upgrade? Is the permitting timeline realistic given local zoning constraints? These are questions typically asked by construction lenders and project finance teams, not capital markets bankers. The convergence of those disciplines is accelerating as deal sizes grow and institutional capital demands construction to permanent financing solutions packaged at inception. Wilcoxon's observation that most of us just assume it happens magically in some ephemeral thing called the cloud highlights the cognitive gap Wall Street is closing. Data centers are not virtual infrastructure. They are steel, concrete, copper, and fiber optic cable requiring uninterrupted power supply, redundant cooling systems, and physical security. The financing structures must reflect that reality, which means lenders need to assess engineering drawings, energy procurement strategies, and backup generation capacity. That level of diligence is standard in power plant project finance. It is new too, technology infrastructure. The $3 trillion estimate sets a multi-decade capital cycle in motion. Citigroup's internal estimate of $3 trillion in required capital by 2030 positions the AI infrastructure build-out on par with the global energy transition in terms of financing scale. That figure encompasses land acquisition, construction, electrical infrastructure, and ongoing capital expenditure for hardware refreshes. Spread over 4 years, the annual capital requirement approaches $750 billion, a sum that dwarfs the combined annual capital expenditure of the top 10 global technology companies. The implication: external capital will need to bridge the gap, and the institutions that control access to sovereign wealth funds, pension capital, and private credit will extract economics commensurate with their gatekeeping role. The memo from Citi's investment banking leadership described the new AI infrastructure group as designed to break through internal silos and coordinate across investment banking, corporate banking, and financing divisions. The organizational structure is a direct response to deal complexity. A single data center financing may require syndicated bank debt, high-yield bonds, equity co-investment from sponsors, and mezzanine financing from private credit funds. Coordinating those capital sources under a unified term sheet requires cross-functional collaboration that traditional Wall Street org charts do not naturally facilitate. Banks that can deliver integrated solutions will win mandates. Banks that force clients to navigate internal silos will lose them. Comparative context: infrastructure scale capital intensity mirrors energy transition dynamics. The AI data center financing boom parallels recent dynamics in liquefied natural gas, LNG, export infrastructure, where geopolitical disruption has driven demand for long-term contracted supply. Citi raised Cheniere Energy's price target to $330 from $280, citing geopolitical disruption in the Middle East as a structural tailwind for U.S. LNG exports, with the company expanding capacity and maintaining over 95% contracted volumes through 2030. Cheniere delivered 670 LNG cargoes in 2025, generating $19.976 billion in revenue, up 27% year-over-year, and $24.13 in earnings per share versus $13.50 consensus. The underwriting thesis: once infrastructure secures long-term offtake agreements with creditworthy counterparties, the revenue stream justifies infrastructure-grade financing at compressed spreads. AI data centers are following an analogous path. Hyperscalers are signing multi-year capacity commitments with developers, effectively creating take-or-pay contracts that mirror LNG offtake agreements. Those commitments provide revenue visibility that allows project sponsors to raise non-recourse debt against future cash flows. The capital markets are treating these structures as infrastructure assets, not speculative technology investments. The pricing reflects that shift. Spreads on secured data center debt have compressed meaningfully over the past 18 months as institutional investors gain comfort with the durability of hyperscaler demand and the fungibility of compute capacity across workloads. Key parallel: Cheniere's contracted volume approach, 95% plus locked through 2030, mirrors hyperscaler data center capacity commitments. Long-term offtake agreements convert speculative construction risk into institutional-grade infrastructure financing. The financing architecture also shares characteristics with tokenized securities infrastructure emerging in European capital markets. France's Lightning Stock Exchange, LISA, is preparing to list French aerospace supplier ST Group on April 9 in what would become Europe's first fully on-chain stock market debut under the EU's distributed ledger technology pilot regime. ST Group has approximately €59 million, $68 million, in potential program revenue over the next decade and aims to scale output across aerospace and military supply chains. The underlying theme: infrastructure scale capital formation is migrating towards structures that reduce friction, compress settlement timelines, and expand the investor base beyond traditional bank syndicates. The private capital market realignment is already underway. JP Morgan's strategy of using its own balance sheet to bridge projects before syndicating to long-term institutional capital reflects a broader realignment in how private capital flows into infrastructure. Sovereign wealth funds and pension funds have historically allocated to infrastructure through closed-end private equity vehicles with 10-year lockups and 2 and 20 fee structures. The data center boom is accelerating the adoption of co-investment structures, separately managed accounts, and direct platform investments that allow institutions to bypass fund economics and deploy capital at scale into specific assets with transparent return profiles. This disintermediation has profound implications for investment banks. The traditional advisory model, arranging debt, placing equity, earning fees as a percentage of capital raised, compresses as institutional investors demand more direct access to assets and sponsors seek cheaper capital. Banks that can offer integrated solutions, balance sheet, structuring, and distribution, retain relevance. Banks that simply broker capital between sponsors and institutions risk commoditization. The winners will be those that combine technical underwriting expertise with privileged access to the largest pools of institutional capital. The Meta Blue Owl joint venture bond deal at $27 billion represents the upper bound of what is currently achievable in public debt markets. The structure likely involved multiple tranches with varying maturities, covenant packages, and pricing, distributed across institutional investors, insurance companies, and public pension funds. Deals of that scale require distribution capabilities that only a handful of banks possess. Morgan Stanley's ability to execute reflects its integrated platform across investment banking, wealth management, and institutional securities, a combination that allows the firm to place large blocks of debt with proprietary distribution channels that competitors cannot replicate. The Plaquemines view: Wall Street is building the financing infrastructure for a decade-long capital cycle that will fundamentally reshape the balance sheets of global technology firms and the asset allocation strategies of institutional investors. The $3 trillion Citigroup estimate is not an endpoint, it is a midpoint. As AI model training scales and inference workloads proliferate, the power and compute requirements will continue to grow, driving demand for incremental capacity that cannot be financed on corporate balance sheets alone. The banks that will dominate this cycle are those that recognize data centers are no longer real estate, they are energy infrastructure with technology tenants. The underwriting discipline must shift accordingly. Credit risk is secondary to execution risk. Developer track record matters less than utility interconnection agreements and power procurement strategies. Collateral value is not determined by replacement cost, but by revenue contracts with hyperscalers and the fungibility of compute capacity across workloads. The organizational response from Goldman, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, and Citi, integrated teams spanning lending, markets, and private capital, is not defensive positioning. It is offensive strategy designed to capture mandate flow in a market where deal sizes are measured in billions and the competitive moat is technical fluency. Regional lenders like Citizens are winning roles traditionally reserved for bulge bracket banks because they invested early in building teams with engineering expertise and construction finance experience. The league tables will be redrawn over the next 24 months as deals flow to banks that can structure, underwrite, and distribute infrastructure-scale financings, not those that simply provide balance sheet. The second-order effect will be the institutionalization of data center ownership. As pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, and insurance companies allocate capital to these assets through co-investment structures and separately managed accounts, the sector will professionalize. Sponsor returns will compress, but capital availability will expand. The financing terms will converge toward infrastructure norms, longer tenors, lower spreads, tighter covenants, and greater transparency. That evolution will unlock trillions in additional institutional capital that currently sits on the sidelines due to perceived technology risk. The risk case is execution. Permitting delays, utility interconnection bottlenecks, and construction cost overruns could derail projects and impair lender recoveries. Banks that underwrite electrical diagrams today will avoid losses tomorrow. Those that treat these as corporate loans will learn expensive lessons about the difference between financial risk and physical risk. The bottom line: the AI data center financing boom is not a cyclical opportunity, it is a structural shift in how infrastructure-scale technology investments are capitalized. The banks building cross-functional teams with engineering fluency, power finance expertise, and institutional distribution capabilities will capture economics measured in hundreds of millions over the next decade. Those that rely on traditional corporate finance playbooks will be shut out. The billion-dollar minimum is not hyperbole, it is the new cost of entry into a market that will define Wall Street's capital formation role for the next generation. Institutional investors watching this unfold should focus on which banks are hiring electrical engineers, not which banks are hiring more mergers and acquisitions bankers. The former will tell you who wins. The latter will tell you who still doesn't understand the game has changed.